feeling like you need to get up to speed on a major global shift, but maybe without getting bogged down in tons of reports, consider this your sort of express lane to being really well informed. Today, we're plunging into something fascinating and pretty crucial, actually, India's big push towards making its own defense equipment.
Yeah, and for this deep dive, we've pulled together some, well, really interesting stuff. We'll be looking at insights from Scalian on industry best practices, like APQP. Then there's a detailed report from CII and Ernst & Young focusing on SMEs, the small and medium enterprises in India's defense world. We've also got the official Defense Acquisition Procedure 2020, that's kind of the rule book, and a document from Lockheed Martin on how they handle quality, specifically APQP and PPP. Plus, we're mixing in recent news about India's growing defense production and exports.
Okay, so our mission today, it's pretty straightforward. Really get a handle on what's driving this self-reliance push. We want to get a clear picture of the opportunities and, yeah, the challenges too for Indian companies, especially those smaller businesses that are so vital. And ultimately, understand the strategic side of things. What does this shift really mean? All right, let's unpack this. Why? Why is India making such a, well, determined effort now to produce its own defense gear?
It's a few things, really, all connected. But right at the top is the Atmanirbhar Bharat Abhiyan, the Self-Reliant India campaign. This isn't just a cash phrase. It's a real strategic shift, and it's baked right into the Defense Acquisition Procedure, DAP 2020. Think of it as India deciding strategically, okay, we need to build our own core strengths here.
Right, and we've seen some pretty firm actions already, haven't we? Like that list of weapons and systems they've banned for import, that feels like a direct push for local making.
Exactly. That import ban acts as a strong, well, catalyst. It creates immediate demand for stuff made in India. And the DAP 2020, it lays out different ways to buy things, like Make for Designing and Building Here, D&D for Design and Development Projects, and the SBM Strategic Partnership Model. These aren't just labels, There are specific paths designed to grow a strong, long-term defense industry right here in India.
And the sheer size of India's defense needs, it really highlights why this matters so much. I saw a figure, the defense budget jump from about 2.53 lakh crore back in 2013-14 to what, 6.81 lakh crore now. That huge increase really shows the potential market size for Indian firms.
Yeah, that rising budget gives the whole thing serious financial muscle and signals real government commitment. And what's also interesting are the economic possibilities. The CII report mentions the Kelkar Committee findings. They figured that even just cutting imports by, say, 25%, that could bring big benefits. Less foreign currency going out, faster GDP growth, and maybe like 120,000 jobs.
So it's strategic, but it's also got this big economic upside. Okay, let's get into the nuts and bolts then. How does this actually work? What's the policy framework for how India buys defense stuff?
Well, the DAP 2020 sets up a clear pecking order for how they procure things. Top priority is buy Indian IDDM. That stands for Indigenously Designed, Developed, and Manufactured, needs at least 50% local content. That's the gold standard for self-reliance. Then you've got Buy Indian. That's for products made by an Indian vendor, needing 60% indigenous content, or 50% if the design is also Indian. So Buy Indian IDDM is really about, completely homegrown solutions.
Okay, so a definite preference for truly made in India tech. What are some of the other ways they acquire equipment?
There's also Buy and Make Indian. Here, they might buy some initial units off the shelf, but then there's local production under a transfer of technology deal with a foreign company. That path also needs at least 50% local content in the make part. Then you have buy global manufacture in India, and finally just buy global, which is straight imports. Each one has specific local content rules designed to encourage domestic production at different levels.
Sounds like a pretty well-structured system trying to get different levels of local input. And how does the government actually plan what it needs and when?
The planning, it's multi-layered. Starts with a 10-year plan, the Integrated Capability Development Plan, or ICDP. That outlines long-term needs for the forces. That then feeds into a 5-year plan, the Defense Capital Acquisition Plan, DCPA, which sorts out the priorities for buying stuff. And finally, there's a 2-year annual acquisition plan, the AAP. That lists the specific things they'll actually start buying. It's kind of a funnel from long-term vision down to immediate action.
Right, a strategic vision translated into concrete near-term actions. Makes sense. Now, who exactly counts as an Indian vendor under these rules?
Yeah, the DAP 2020 defines that quite specifically. For defense items needing an industrial license, it's basically an Indian entity, a company, partnership, whatever, that follows Indian laws and has the right licenses. But crucially, For those top categories like buy, Indian IDDM, and the make programs, there's an ownership rule.
Yeah.
More than 50% of the capital has to be owned directly or indirectly by resident Indian citizens or Indian companies controlled by them. And this also caps foreign direct investment, FDI, at 49% max in these cases. It keeps control over key defense tech domestic.
That makes sense, yeah. Keeping the main ownership and decision-making in India. And this whole setup, it ties into the bigger Make in India initiative, right? We hear that phrase a lot with defense.
Absolutely. Make in India is this huge national program, and the defense sector is, well, a really important part of it. Like that PIB source mentioned, this initiative has been a major driver behind the big growth we're seeing in India's defense production numbers.
Okay, so we've got the why and the how from a policy angle. Now let's focus on a really key piece, the small and medium enterprises, the SMEs. What part do they play in all this?
SMEs, well, they're basically the lifeblood of the Indian economy. That CII report really hammers this home. They make up something like over 90% of all businesses, and they're huge contributors to jobs and exports across the board. Their flexibility, their potential for innovation, that's essential for building a really dynamic defense industry, too.
Yeah, they're often where the real innovation happens in lots of sectors. So what's the government doing specifically to get them involved in the defense supply chain?
The government definitely sees how important they are and is trying to create a better environment for them in defense. But the CII report also flags some pretty big hurdles they face. A lot of SMEs depend heavily on government bodies, ordnance factories, defense PSUs, DRDO for orders. They can also run into problems like inconsistent orders, tech gaps, getting paid on time, strict security rules, and meeting really tough quality standards.
Those definitely sound like significant challenges. So what's the potential upside then? Why would an SME want to get into the defense market?
Oh, the opportunities are definitely there and growing. With this big push for indigenization, there's just a bigger market for SMEs to supply parts and subsystems to the large defense PSUs. They also have a shot at getting into the global defense supply chain, maybe through offsets, which we should probably talk about. Plus, as India develops more advanced stuff itself, the need for all sorts of specialized inputs will just keep growing. That means more chances for SMEs to grow and specialize.
Right, makes sense. But how do the big players, the OEMs, the main contractors, actually find these SMEs, the ones with the right skills they need?
That's a really critical point the CII report makes. They stress the need for a good, comprehensive vendor database that's easy to use. It would let OEMs and primes quickly find Indian SMEs that have exactly the skills and capacity they need for a project. It's about making those connections much easier.
Kind of like a matchmaking service for the defense industry. Vital. And what about encouraging innovation, getting new tech from these smaller firms?
Yeah, that's where things like Innovations for Defense Excellence, or IDEX, come in. And the Aapmanirbhar Bharat in Defense Programs, SREGN, and the Positive Indigenization Lists, or PILs.
Mm-hmm.
That PIB source we looked at talks about how IDEX works to get startups and MSMEs involved in developing really cutting-edge defense tech. SREGN and the PILs, they identify specific things the military needs to source locally, creating direct opportunities. And they've already indigenized, what, over 14,000 items through SREGN and 3,000 via the PILs. That shows there's real potential there.
Wow, that's actually really impressive progress. And I think I saw something about financial help for these companies, too.
Yes, exactly. Schemes like ADITI offer pretty substantial grants, up to 25 crore, I think, to help develop critical defense technologies. That kind of money can be a game changer for a startup or an SME with a great idea that needs resources. And the PIB also mentioned that over 2,400 crore worth of stuff has already been bought from these IDEX startups and MSMEs as of early 2025. So they're actually buying the innovations.
So it's a real, you know, multi-pronged effort, not just getting SMEs in, but actually nurturing their innovation. Okay, you mentioned offsets earlier. Can you break those down? What are they and how do they fit in?
All right, offsets. So basically, when India buys big ticket defense items from a foreign company, there's often an offset requirement tied to the deal. It means the foreign seller has to reinvest a certain percentage of the contract's value back into India. This could be through transferring technology, setting up local factories, or investing in Indian companies, like SMEs. The CII report sees offsets as a pretty important way to bring both tech and investment into India's defense sector.
That sounds like a smart approach, ensuring India gets more than just the equipment. But how do SMEs feel about these offset deals? Is it working for them?
Well, IMBICS-B, that CII report, gives some SME feedback. They definitely see the potential benefits, chances for tech upgrades, becoming suppliers, maybe joint ventures, but they also face challenges. Sometimes SMEs just aren't big enough or don't have the specific tech capabilities needed for these large offset projects. Just figuring out the complex rules and bidding successfully, that could be tough for smaller firms too.
And what about foreign direct investment, FDI? We touched on the ownership limits. How do those rules affect getting technology and SME growth?
FDI. That's still a bit of a debate, actually. You see differing views in appendices B and C of the CII report. Some argue the current 49% FDI cap in key areas might hold back the flow of top-tier technology. Foreign OEMs might hesitate to share their best stuff without more ownership control. On the other hand, some Indian companies, especially SMEs, feel the limits help protect them from getting swamped by huge global players. Gives them more bargaining power, perhaps? It's a tricky balance.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like a balancing act. Now, one of the buying categories we mentioned was buy and make Indian, involving transfer of technology, or TOTI. How vital is TOTI for India's self-reliance goal?
Oh, TOTI is absolutely fundamental. It's a direct way to build up India's own design and manufacturing skills and, you know, cut down long-term reliance on foreign suppliers. The Buy and Make Indian category in DFP 2020 and the CII report, too, they really stress getting meaningful TOTI for critical technologies. They specify things like the breadth and depth of the transfer needed. But, you know, the real success depends on whether Indian companies can actually absorb that knowledge effectively and use it.
Makes perfect sense. Just getting the tech isn't enough. You need the capacity to actually use it well. Okay, let's switch gears a bit and talk about something absolutely critical in defense and aerospace. Quality. How do things like APQP and PPP help build a strong Indian defense industry?
Quality is just, well, it's non-negotiable, isn't it? The reliability of defense gear is paramount. That's where frameworks like Advanced Product Quality Planning, or ATQP, are so important. As Skellion explains it, APQP is about being proactive. It's a prevention is better than cure approach, especially vital in demanding sectors like aerospace and defense where, you know, failure isn't really an option.
So it's about designing and building quality in right from the very start, not just checking for mistakes at the end.
Exactly. The Lockheed Martin document goes into the key phases: planning, product design and development, and process validation. Planning sets the quality goals. Design and development gets into the specs and uses tools like DFMEA design failure mode and effects analysis to really analyze risks. Think of DFMEA as systematically figuring out every possible way something could fail so you can design those weaknesses out before you even build it.
And process validation, that's making sure the actual manufacturing can consistently hit the mark.
Precisely. This involves tough testing of prototypes, detailed first article inspections, checking if the processes are capable, making sure manufacturing can consistently meet the quality standards. Both Skellion and Lockheed Martin highlight how crucial industry standards like AS9100 and AS9145 are. You need those for aerospace compliance.
I also saw mentions of risk analysis and process control plans. How do they fit into the quality picture?
Well, risk analysis, like that DFMEA we mentioned, helps spot potential problems early on so you can fix them during design. Process control plans then map out exactly how you'll monitor and control manufacturing to keep quality consistent during production. You identify key things to watch and keep track of them. And then there's the production part approval process, PPP. That's a key outcome of APQP. It's basically the documented proof that the supplier totally understands the buyer's requirements and can consistently meet them when they start mass production.
It sounds incredibly thorough, very detailed. How does this link back to the Indian SMEs we were talking about earlier?
Well, the CII report points out that meeting these really demanding benchmarks, cost, quality, on-time delivery, is a big challenge for many Indian SMEs. To really integrate into the defense supply chain, to be reliable partners, they need to adopt these quality frameworks. They have to prove they can consistently meet these high standards. So things like supplier development programs, quality improvement initiatives, they're really essential to help SMEs bridge that gap and compete effectively.
So it's not just make in India, it's make quality in India to global standards.
Got it. Now, looking at the bigger picture, what kind of actual progress has India made recently? What do the production and export numbers look like?
The data is actually really quite encouraging. That KIB source we mentioned highlights a huge jump in defense production value. It hit 1.27 lakh crore in the financial year 2023-24. That's a massive 174% increase since 2014-15. It really shows the Make in India initiative is having a tangible effect on the ground.
Wow, 174% increase in domestic production. That's enormous.
Mm-hmm.
What about exports? We seem to be hearing more about India becoming a defense exporter.
Yeah, that's another big success story unfolding. India's defense exports, they hit a record 23,622 crore in the last fiscal year, 2024-25. That's like a 34 times increase since 2013-14, according to the PIB data. Just extraordinary growth. And it's coming from both private companies and the defense PSUs. We're also seeing way more export permissions being granted and more companies getting into the export game.
That's fantastic. What sort of things is India exporting now, and who are they selling to? The export basket is getting pretty diverse. It includes things like advanced electronic systems, bulletproof jackets, the Dornier 228 aircraft, Chetak helicopters, fast boats, lightweight torpedoes. A real mix. And the PIB says India is now exporting defense gear to over 100 countries. The top destinations in 2023-24 were the US, France, and Armenia. This wider range of products and customers, it really signals growing confidence globally in Indian-made defense equipment.
That really does suggest a significant shift in India's place in the global defense market. And are there specific future targets they've set?
Yes, the government has set some pretty ambitious targets. They're aiming for 3 lakh crore in defense production and 50,000 crore in exports by 2029. That's according to the PIB release. It shows a clear long-term vision for India to become a major player, not just buying defense stuff, but producing and exporting it too.
So wrapping this up, it really feels like India's Make in India drive in defense has gone beyond just ambition. It seems to have real momentum and is getting tangible results. It's clearly not just about national security, is it? It's also about building a strong industrial base and driving economic growth.
Precisely. You've got this strategic push for self-reliance backed by supportive policies, a growing domestic industry, especially with SMEs getting more involved, which is vital, and this firm commitment to quality, to meeting global standards. It's definitely positioning India as a key and increasingly influential player on the world's defense manufacturing stage.
This has been a really insightful deep dive. It's clear things are moving fast here. Now, for you, our listener, here's something to maybe mull over. As India steps up as a major defense exporter, what could the long-term impact be on global power dynamics, on international relations, and what kind of new technologies might spin out of this intense focus on developing defense capabilities domestically?
Yeah, and for those of you who want to dig even deeper, I'd really suggest looking into those specific initiatives we talked about, IDEX, SIJAN, the PILs, or maybe check out the details in the Defense Acquisition Procedure 2020 document itself. Researching global trends in defense manufacturing could also be interesting. The websites for the Indian Ministry of Defense and industry groups like CII are probably good places to start for more info.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until our next exploration, keep questioning and keep learning.